going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. You got Sam, Jason, Noel, other side of the glass. Good morning, Georgia!
Good morning.
And good morning to the folks in Hiram out there in Paulding County. Jason, we're playing this for a reason.
Yes, we are.
We have some breaking news out of Knoxville, Tennessee.
This is a very momentous occasion in that I'm going to give Tennessee football credit for something. It's painful. It hurts me. I've had this conversation before on shows where you talk about the teams that you hate the most. Tennessee's that team for me.
Yeah.
Tennessee and the Philadelphia Union in MLS. I'm shaking that I have to give Tennessee credit, but they did the right thing with their quarterback holding out, wanting more money, doesn't show up for practice. Spring Josh Heupel says bye.
Spring game today, and they say goodbye. Tennessee, this is breaking news, folks. Tennessee is moving on from their quarterback Nico Amavaleva. He is leaving. He is in the wake of his decision not to attend practice. Mid-contract discussions, they are moving on.
Heupel didn't waste any time because this was yesterday. He missed meetings. He missed practice. Josh Heupel's like, all right, bet. See ya. Transfer portal opens in a few days. Good. He's not the guy to pull that move.
What did Terrence Mann say? You're not that good? You're holding out, demanding all this money, and you're not that good?
He's good, but he's not that good.
Right, exactly.
He's not that guy to pull that move. He is, I said it and it's kind of mean, but he is a lesser bowl, I said a Citrus Bowl player of the game quarterback.
Well, a Citrus Bowl player.
He's good.
But he just made it to the playoff.
He's not.
He took them up to Ohio State. They got spanked up.
Is he going to win a national championship at Tennessee?
No, he's not.
Okay. Is he worth saying that on the Friday? Nah, I ain't coming. I'm not coming. I'm out. I need more money. Okay, go find it somewhere else.
And what's so interesting about this is we've seen this in the pros, right? Players try to gamble on themselves.
Yep.
And I mean, we're watching this for Kirk Cousins to an extent.
Yep.
And they're finding out in real times in college before they even get to the pros that, yeah, these gambles can go the other way.
They can. It's a gamble. It's not a guarantee.
Man. I mean, and that's the thing. Tennessee is saying see you. So that is happening, folks. And that is why we had a little Ray Charles to bring us back to start the 10 o'clock hour. I got Jason Longshore here because Greg is, I guess he's hanging out at Bucky's again today.
He might be heading up to Knoxville.
He might be. Maybe. Everybody's heading up there. This is big move. And it's like a school firing back, you know. And I would be curious, there are other spring games going on around the country. Obviously, we have two going on here starting at 1 o'clock. Georgia Tech is playing theirs today. It's G-Day over in Athens. They kick off at 1 o'clock. And I'm sure it's not like coaches don't want to talk about players at other schools. But you know they got some thoughts about what Tennessee's done. You know Kirby Smart has some thoughts about it. You know Brent Key has some thoughts.
Kirby might not share those thoughts.
No,
but you know he's got them.
But you know he has some thoughts about this.
I would like to hear those thoughts over a beer after G-Day. That'd be a fun conversation because I think we'd have to edit a whole lot of it if we were ever going to play that anywhere. It's just the nature of where college sports are. And this is a in general, I think it's a good thing that players are getting paid
right.
for this. They've deserved that for a while. But now you've got to deal with the repercussions of that. You want to hold out? Cool. Now schools can do what players have been doing in terms of going into the portal and moving on. All right, you're going to hold out. We're going to go get somebody else. The portal opens, what, 4 days?
The 16th. Okay.
We need to get to a point where we've got a little more coherence to the way all this works. And I've seen a few people allude to it, and we were talking about it during the break. You have a model that you can follow in the international soccer market.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had these conversations with Atlanta United. Look at what Atlanta did in the last 6 months in soccer. You sold Thiago Almada, Yorgos Yakimakis, Caleb Wiley. You brought in over $50 million in transfer fees. Now that's, we'll come back to transfer fees in a second. You bring that in, and you're able to then go spend more in the market to bring in Latte Lott, also mm-hmm. bring Miguel Almiron back in, and you've upgraded your team by developing players and selling them on. The model for the economics of college football, and I'm going to leave other college sports out of it because that's going to be a whole different conversation that a whole lot of people don't want to have right now. You're going to see a lot of non-revenue sports get cut or drop to D3, which is non-rev. You're going to see that at some of these schools because football and basketball and maybe baseball in a few situations are going to take up all the money, all the oxygen, all the conversation because you've got to figure this part out. You've got to sign guys to contracts.
Right.
You've got to then basically recruit your team every day mm-hmm. to keep them there. And you've got to make decisions like this one. You got a player who wants more money and hasn't quite done enough to deserve it, and they're going to be a problem. Cool, bye. I can go get another quarterback who can probably do about the same thing. You want to get a better one.
Right. Right.
But this is where it gets really interesting for players who maybe think they're entitled to something that they're not, and they're going to find that out in a rude way that they're not going to get quite as much, or they're going to have to go somewhere else to get it or drop down a level. And that's the stuff that you've got to figure out. I think you've got to have transfer windows where you have very limited periods of time where players can move, but you also got to create the other scenario. Like I talked about in the soccer world, and I think this is where you can help the lesser schools at the D1 level because the opportunity is there to do what smaller soccer clubs do. Bring players in, give them a chance to play straight out of the gate, develop them, and then they move on. Right now, if you are, let's talk about Georgia State. If you're Kennesaw State, if you're West Georgia, you're Georgia Southern, D1 programs. And you bring a player in, they start as a freshman, they play 2 years, they're great, they're all conference, they're dominant at their level. And a Georgia or an Auburn or an Alabama come in and say, you know, we want to bring that guy in. You get nothing. If you're going to sign guys to contracts, you should be able to sell that contract to a bigger school who comes in with a transfer fee. And that's going to help fund those smaller programs, yeah. which you need. Because you can't just have 60 programs around the country and that's the only places that these guys get a chance to play. You've got to have the lower tier programs that players who are late bloomers, players who are coming back from an injury, players who change position and find themselves at the college game, they got to go play.
Right.
So create a transfer market. And that's going to then have the money get spread around a little bit and you're going to see some schools really carve out a niche in player development. And that's going to be such a good thing for football as a whole, and it's going to help the NFL. Because then you're going to get more guys developing and playing and being in a professional, in air quotes, environment.
Yeah, like you said, Jason, it takes some time to figure it out because it's the moving goalpost.
Yeah, you got
to
figure it out fast because that goalpost is wobbling right now.
Mickey Joseph is the head coach getting ready to start his second season down at Grambling State, and he made this comment this week. About, hey, you know, this is what I'm up against. I can bring players in, and mm-hmm. he's trying to reestablish that brand. When it comes to HBCUs, the Grambling is one of the great brands. Their team has not been that. There have been a lot of inconsistency though down through the years, in recent years. He's trying to reestablish that, and somebody was asking me, you know, hey, you guys, and they're going to get a lot of visibility this year. They're going to play a game at Ohio State.
That's
awesome.
They're
going to go to Las Vegas. They're going to play Jackson State out in Vegas.
Love it.
And those are some checks they're going to pick up.
Yep.
But he's saying, you know what, if I get some guys in here that are going to look like and are going to excel, some, you know, the bigger program is going to come down and pull them out. Can these guys you know, can they drop us something? Can I get some cash back?
They absolutely should.
And that's the thing. He asked that question this week.
If we're going to get into contracts for players, that's cool. And I'm all for that. I love it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and cry about wanting it to be the way that it was in 1980. It's college football's gone. It's professional now. Newsflash. By the way, there were players getting paid in 1980.
Yeah.
There were cars being handed over. Woo. There were all kinds of things happening.
Yeah.
And you had the Blue Bloods who were doing all this stuff. We've all seen it. We've all heard the whispers. Mm-hmm. It happened. Give that up. Okay? Let's put it all above board now. You got guys who are going to sign contracts. That's good. They're going to have a chance to play in front of huge stadiums and all these great things. Great. That's going to give them a pathway potentially to the NFL to make a living in the game. Great. All good things. But you've got to create some structure to save the game. And if I'm the NFL, I'm getting involved in that conversation because the NFL doesn't have a minor league system. It's college football.
Right.
Well, now college football is professional football. Make it truly your minor league system because you need as many players to be developed as possible. If I'm the NFL and they're doing some really good things with the HBCUs, I think that's a spot where you can start. You go to all of them, you invest in coaching development across all position groups. You want every coach at those schools to be as good and learning as much as possible. You do that, you invest in those programs, and you start to really push whatever the NCAA or whatever governing body we end up having for college football. You work hand in hand with them to help develop your talent, and you create this structure, and it's going to benefit the NFL, and they have the money to do it. You know, we talk about baseball. Baseball has a minor league system that has struggled. Baseball isn't able to invest in the minor league system as much as they'd like to. That's going to hurt them in the long run on player development. The NFL has the money to do it. Do it now. Create the structure that's going to benefit you in the long run. Of course, the NFL is going to look out for the NFL, but they can help provide structure to what is now college football today, because it's not what it used to be. It's never going back.
Not going back.
It's never going back. These guys are professional athletes. That's good. That is a good thing. They should get paid. They're putting their bodies on the line. They're putting their potential lives on the line. They're representing those schools and making a ton of money for them. They should get paid too. I'm all for it. But create the structure. Sign everybody to contracts. And then if another school wants to come into Grambling, I really like this wide receiver. I want to bring him over to Mississippi State. I want to bring him here. Cool. Pay Grambling for the contract.
Yeah.
Buy the contract. That's transfers. And I think,
like I said, that's something we're already seeing through
soccer. Yeah, we get so hung up in our sports on trades. And, okay, you got to trade Kirk Cousins. Somebody should just come in and buy his contract. They're taking the contract that he signed with the Falcons, buy it, he goes to another team. Do that in college football. So that wide receiver at Grambling who is showing out and you think he can be even better in the SEC, go pay Grambling for that contract and bring him in. That way Grambling benefits, they can reinvest,
yep,
and the game gets better and there's more chances for players to play and grow and develop.
Got an idea. It all starts with the breaking news that's happening now, what Tennessee is doing.
Good job, Tennessee. Oh, that hurts.
Tell quarterback, you can kick rocks. We'll get another quarterback. Coming up next, hey, deep dive into what's coming up today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you're headed down there for tailgating, you know, Jason will tell you what's on the menu, but also what to expect once we get inside today with New England Revolution. That is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Look at Noel celebrating Vince Gill's birthday.
Hey. Born on this date in 1957, 68-year-old. Happy birthday to Vince Gill.
Vince Gill, a kind of honorary member of the Eagles as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive. Just a great musical artist. Absolutely incredible musical artist. Guitar player, singer. Vince Gill's amazing.
Yep. Yep. And celebrating among those celebrating birthdays. And as we welcome you back in to Saturday mornings, you got Sam minus Greg, but Jason's here, and he's nice enough to stop through on his way to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I did half the show today.
Well, you know, I appreciate you coming through, man. You were busy. You were working last night.
At South Forsyth in Denmark last night, basically a playoff game. Mm-hmm. The winner booked their spot in the state tournament in one of the toughest regions in 6A, and it was a good game. Neither team could score. Both teams had a ton of chances. And Vogt, the goalkeeper for South Forsyth, he saved a penalty in overtime, and then in the shootout saved two more and helped his team win in the shootout. So South Forsyth, they're into the state tournament. Denmark needs some help from North Forsyth on Tuesday.
Okay.
Not likely to get it.
We're coming down the home stretch, though, in the high school soccer season.
Yep, last week of the regular season coming up. So we were up and coming last night for that South Forsyth match, and then traffic was really nice coming back into the city as that one ended after a penalty shootout in overtime. So got a little bit of sleep. I'm here, and then I'm heading to the Benz.
All right, for Atlanta United, a team that, you know, we expect great things from. We still do.
We should.
Some things have been a little aggravating. We've seen some things kind of get away from them in some matches. But we think overall it's a process. And maybe it doesn't come together as quickly as people want it to.
It's this thing where I feel like it's very easy when we cover a team and we're looking for stories to talk about. It's either everything is great and this is the greatest team we have ever seen in our lives and they're going to win every trophy they could possibly win. Or it's this team's terrible and everything's bad and everybody is awful. No. more often than not, it's somewhere in the middle, right?
Okay.
I think we can go hyperbole on both sides, and we're not telling the story. This is a team that has two very important new faces in Latte Lott up top, who has delivered.
Yeah, yeah.
He's second in the league in
goal
scoring.
He is on, man. He is.
And he's doing it in a lot of different ways. I'm really impressed with his overall work rate. And you've re-added Miguel Almiron, who is not the player that he was when he left. He's an older player now. He's still a very, very impactful player. But I think he's figuring out how to channel that impact in his 30-plus-year-old body and in a league that is different than it was when he left. And I think the team is figuring out how to get the best out of him as well. Chemistry is not something you can put an exact equation on. You can't put a timeline on it either.
True.
Alexei Maranchuk, you know, came in August, so it's not like he's been here for a long time. So you're still finding the space with him, and you're finding out how to get the best out of this. Ronny Dyla has not had the starting 11 that, if you looked at it going into opening day, the starting 11 that you thought would be the one you'd see more often than not. He has not had that group on the field at all. So he's had to figure it out, moving pieces around. Guys have emerged. You know, I think Tristan Muyamba has been absolutely brilliant this season. And he struggled last year. And he talked about it. You know, he went into the offseason. I asked him about confidence. And, you know, I was talking more about in-game, the little things you do with a big tackle or a good pass, like those little things that give you a boost.
Right.
He went big picture on it. You know, he was not happy with his performance last year. He struggled. He got hurt. He came back. He contributed in the playoffs. But he went away and got his head right and talked to the people around him and came into preseason with the right mindset, ready to grind, had to wait a minute for his opportunity to present itself. And now he's got to play. He's one of the best central midfielders in the league at this point. You've got Jay Fortune and Bartosz Schlisz and Mateusz Klich and Will Riley all battling for the other spot. You've got an attacking group that has been pretty good, hasn't quite produced as much as you would like, and you've given up some goals the other way that it all kind of runs against where the numbers are telling you this team should be. That, in my opinion, shows that it's down to the individual moments. It's down to that moment of focus in a game of either converting on a chance or keeping a chance out on the defensive side. Those are the little things. I like what Ronny Dyla is doing in terms of big picture, but the little things still are being worked on. The chemistry is still getting better. We've seen some really good play from this team, and you want to see more of it for longer periods of time.
That exactly is the case. That we've seen brilliance from this team at times.
Yep.
You know, you just want to maintain it and have it for both halves. New England, what do we look for from them? What are they bringing in today?
We've talked about Atlanta trying to build chemistry. New England had 15 signings in the offseason, and that's really difficult. They've struggled to score goals this season. One of the worst offensive teams in the league. They have one of the best offensive players in the league, though, in Carlos Hill. And we've seen him over the years be a problem for everybody, not just Atlanta United, but definitely a problem against Atlanta United. It's something that you've got to make sure you've got him covered and accounted for at all times. This has been a pretty good defensive team in New England. So you've got to put some pressure on them. And I think I go back to what happened last week against Dallas, where Atlanta United had the run of play in the first half. They were the better team. They had more chances. They got a goal on a penalty. They really put Dallas under pressure. But once they got the goal, they didn't let up, but they didn't have the killer instinct to go put the game away.
Okay.
And I think at home you have to have that, because this team historically at home, when they've scored twice, they have hardly ever lost. The record is incredible. Over 60 wins at home when you've scored at least two goals. When you've scored three, you've never lost. So, you know, it's not that you get reckless about it, but if you put a team behind and that team's on the road and they're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the crowd is roaring and they get louder as the day goes on, you're probably not coming back. So I look at it in that moment of you're up 1-0, go kill the game. Don't let a team hang around. Be aggressive and go put the game away. And Atlanta didn't quite do that. And then I think they gave up three chances on the day, one good one, and that one ended up in the back of the net, and you have to share the result. That's not where you want to see this team go. You want to see them get a goal and then get that second, even get that third, kill the game off, then you can rotate guys in the second half.
Yeah, we'll watch for that and see if they can do some of that today and come away with the win. We got some players out today. Who's going to be missing today? We got Derek Williams out.
Derek Williams out. Luis Abram came on for him last game. I thought Abram played really, really well. Luis is a fascinating one to me in that he is a Peruvian international center back, very high level, very steady, great with the ball at his feet, very quiet, and he doesn't show a lot of personality on the field. He's very chill. And that's great at times, but at times you need that communication. You need body language that demonstrates intensity or demonstrates, you know, urgency, things like that. And Luis doesn't do that. That's okay, but you need to find a way, I think, to get just a little more personality out of him because it can help depending on who he's paired with. If it's Deion Gregerson, if it's Noah Cobb, who Gregerson was banged up a little bit in the last match in a collision with Luciano Acosta. So a little bit of a question at center back with Williams out, what it looks like across the board. Question to central midfield as well, like we talked about with Bartosz Szlich, with Jay Fortune, with Tristan Muyamba, with Mateusz Klich, who's back into the fold and training fully now. A lot of options there, and who Ronny Dyla figures out is the best pairing for this game is going to be the story. He said something this week that I thought was fascinating, and I know you've talked to so many coaches in so many sports. I love the way he put it, and I've never quite heard it put this way. He said, I have a painting in my head of what our game is going to be, and we color in that painting every day. When a wrong color is added to the painting, we go in, adjust it, and add something else. So it makes sense to me. Like, yeah. I love the analogy because you think about it. You know what you want to see when you finish. When the season is over, you know what you want to see on that canvas, but you know, you're human and you might have a missed stroke. You know, the color might not quite look as good as you thought it did in your head.
Yeah.
And you've got to tweak it and you've got to adjust. So your picture at the end might look just a little different, but you know, the big picture of what you want it to look like. I love that way of thinking about coaching, and I've never heard anybody put it that way.
Yeah, it's a very unique way of putting it. What are you feeling right now? Because as far as the game in this area, we know it's coming up next year, and there's so many things that are happening, developments happening down in south side of town, down in Fayetteville. We got some great competition that is coming to town this summer.
Mm-hmm.
What's the vibe and what are you feeling? Are you starting to feel a build-up for what we're going to see next summer?
Yeah, I think you're going to have a very different soccer universe here in Atlanta. And it's already started, and now it's starting to feel that way. Premier League clubs have been in town visiting. We've got podcasts on Off the Woodwork with legends from West Ham and from Everton as they're coming back in the summer as part of their preseason tour. So you're seeing clubs like that say, you know what? I need to be in Atlanta. I need to go to Atlanta and talk to the people. You've got U.S. Soccer with Mauricio Pochettino in town. They've opened their temporary offices for the National Training Center that is opening up down in Fayetteville. They've upgraded some fields at McCurry Park that their youth national teams can use, the extended national teams can use, but the community will be able to use as well. We were down there for that. You're seeing just an increased buzz every high school game. It feels like it's bigger, and you hear last night at South Forsyth, you're hearing the students, you know, doing the Olé chant, which is so cool to me.
Yeah.
in this area to hear that, and it sounded like a game from Central America. It was amazing. You've got the Club World Cup coming, and I think that's going to be a bigger tournament than people are expecting. It's new, so of course the easy thing to do if you have a blog or you have a podcast is to say, oh, it's bad. It's not what it needs to be. It's not what it used to be. It's the same thing the college football bloggers and podcasters are doing.
Right.
I want my old college football. I want my old international soccer. Well, look, nah. The money has changed everything, and it's going to continue to just adapt. I think you're going to get some really fun games in it. You're going to have Inter Miami here. You're going to have Porto here. You're going to have Manchester City here. You're going to have Chelsea here, and then you're going to have some knockout games here. That's where that tournament really hits its stride, in my opinion. Okay. You get to the knockout games. You get to games that matter with a South American team and a European team.
Oh, man.
And as Hernan Crespo told us, you know, you've got in South America, in CONCACAF, in Africa, in Asia, you've got fans of teams, you've got players, you've got coaches who are like, you know what? My team can compete with the biggest teams in Europe. My team can do it. You've never had a chance to really prove it. You've had friendlies, you've had exhibition games.
Right.
Now you get a game that is for a trophy, is for a huge prize, a huge check at the end of it, and it matters. So these games are going to be different. The European teams should be dominant. There's going to be an upset somewhere. And as we see in NCAA basketball tournament, when that upset happens, everybody gets excited. Everybody wants to watch the next round. You're going to get that with Club World Cup. And then all of it's leading to World Cup next summer.
Yeah.
And you've got so much happening publicly and behind the scenes to get ready for that. It's an amazing time to be talking about soccer in the city. It's an amazing time to see not just what we're going to get to do and experience between now and that World Cup semifinal next summer, but for me, the exciting thing is, what does 2027 look like? What does 2028 look like? What does it look like for those 10-year-old kids right now who are playing somewhere this morning?
Yeah.
And dreaming? You know, like, when I was that kid, I dreamed and I didn't know what to dream because we didn't have a pro team. You didn't have a national team that had been in a World Cup since 1950 when I was a little kid. I didn't know what I was dreaming. I just wanted to play soccer. Kids now can say, I want to be Caleb Wiley and play for Atlanta United and then go to Chelsea. I want to play for the national team. I want to play in a World Cup at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yep.
You've got real tangible dreams that next generation that's going to take it on, I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yep. But we got developments that are going up down around the stadium that some of those things are going to be ready in time. And also, you know, we still haven't added enough freeway lanes from the Olympics in 96. We got to get some more freeway lanes after this event,
too. Use MARTA, people, please. I hope that the international folks come into Atlanta. Don't rent a car. Don't waste your time. You can get off at the airport. You can ride into town. You can get to your hotel. You can get to the stadium. That's going to be your play. Do that.
We're going to come back with more and wrap things up on this Saturday morning. You continue to stay with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Greg would love this. He's a big fan, first of all, of the band. I was a big fan of the band, too. But we're playing this because of happy birthday, David Letterman. 78 years old today. Was around late night for, seemed like he was on late night forever. And now he just kind of hangs out and shows up at different things. Indy 500.
Yeah.
He's always there.
Oh, he's an indie guy. Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean? So he's there. So, yeah.
Letterman's fascinating. Like, if you love the business of TV, you know, he's involved in a few different aspects of really interesting things. Like the late night show that he built at NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And then was apparently Johnny Carson's choice to take over
what
the
Tonight
Show.
Was that a hot mess or what?
That's incredible drama. There was a movie about it. The book is a great read. I want to say it's called The Late Shift. It's one that... It's so interesting that Jay Leno snaked in there, got it.
Yeah.
Letterman then leaves and goes to CBS and builds a late night empire for them that they didn't have.
No.
They had nothing.
No.
And he goes there and he's one of the great hosts ever in any format. I mean, you can go old school radio, TV, you know, whatever hosting looks like in the next 20 years where – you know, it's not necessarily TV driven, not necessarily radio driven, but all of those, you know, areas are still going to be functioning. He's just one of the greats. And if you're hosting anything, you should study the way that he did it.
To do it that well and for that long, and Noel, I don't know if you're much of a fan too, but if you stay up in late night TV, and the whole thing with he and Jay Leno was simply, you know, that was simply remarkable because everybody felt like Letterman was in line to take over Tonight Show.
Yeah, the hosting drama of that period is really interesting because it's also interesting to see how many people were actually affected from that drama of just them two. Like you got O'Brien over here. Even
Don't get me started about Conan because that's my boy.
Yeah, exactly.
And
even Arsenio was affected.
Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall basically got shut down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, because he was airing on a lot of CBS affiliates.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, due to the way the contracts were different, instead of doing the separate stations, instead of the one big conglomerate, and it was a lot going on there. It got really interesting. Even Chevy Chase got in the mix of that horrible Fox show.
He was on for how long?
Yeah,
for
like 6 weeks, 2 seconds,
less than that. Man.
Fox pulled the plug on that guy.
It was not.
But
good.
You know what though? That tells you more about Letterman, the fact that so many people tried to get into the late night game. Pat Sajak tried it for a minute. The Magic Hour.
I think Alan Thicke had a show.
You know what I mean? So many people tried it. And the fact that Letterman was able to survive it and thrive in it for so long.
In different places, which is hard. Like, it's when you build it in one spot and you stay with that network for a long time. Okay, I get it. It's very hard to do to be relevant for that long of a period of time. But when you build the late, late show element of it at NBC and create a franchise, and then don't get your spot. And this is, I think, the impressive part, and here we go. We're going to make a huge analogy here.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Big time. So what David Letterman did, he was the guy at NBC, the next one in line. He didn't get the job. He didn't sit there and whine about it. He didn't sit there and cry about it. He didn't hold out. He didn't go and do the things that we're seeing some college players do right now. He went somewhere else, and he made bank.
Oh, big time.
And he put himself in a better position and took care of a whole lot of people with that, too. Like, sometimes you got to go elsewhere to get the better spot.
Okay, let's talk about that, Jason.
Let's do this.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I saw some discourse between a listener of ours, Mr. Yo, and Michael Parsons, of all people.
Okay.
And the conversation.
Wow, all right.
Right. And that's not where I expected that to go either. But the conversation was about, you know, college players, you know, doing what's best for them and trying to get the money and all of that good stuff. And the point was made, to your point, that sometimes you have to go elsewhere to fulfill your dreams or reach your potential, all that good stuff. And Michael Parsons was making the argument that we're doing kids a disservice because we're allowing them to quit. And I'm like, in certain small circumstances, sure, right? Like, small circumstances, sure, right? Yeah. But if you're Justin Fields, and it's obvious that you're not going to play beyond Jake Fromm, or Jake Fromm's going to have to move in order for you to get your time in the spotlight, do you sit there and try to compete for a job you know you can't get whether you win it or not? Or do you go to Ohio State?
You go.
And you know, stamp your flag and put your name out there. Like, if you had a job and you get passed over for that promotion, are you sitting around to twiddle your thumbs or are you putting in applications to go get better opportunities? So I couldn't figure out where Michael Parsons was coming from, that we're letting kids quit. Like, it's
the
Little League
old school mentality.
This isn't Little League ball. Like, the goal is to be a name and to go make money and do those things. And if that's what I'm trying to do.
Your name is Joe Burrow.
Exactly. I can't sit behind these people and wait for, you know, this person or that person to. I mean, look at Hailey Van Lith on the women's basketball
100%.
Side. How many teams she done been on?
And she's been good everywhere.
Everywhere. Yep. And made a name and an impact everywhere she's been.
And the moves she made this past year, going from LSU, where it didn't quite work out, and she goes to TCU, she's going to get a higher draft pick in the WNBA because of it. She's got a higher profile, and she did amazing things for TCU, which wasn't a school that you thought was going to make it to, what, the Final Eight.
And mind you, that's off a Olympic appearance in 3-on-3.
Yeah,
you got your bronze medal, and then you took it to TSU. So sometimes you got to move around to get what you feel like, you know, go or be where you feel like it is you need to be. Sometimes where you are isn't where you need to be.
Yeah, I hate this idea that because back in my day, you couldn't transfer and you should sit there and wait it out. there were a lot of players who didn't become what they could have been by doing that. There were a lot of players who didn't develop because they went to a school and then that school recruited somebody else. That school maybe lied to them, maybe told them, like, you're going to be the guy. Oh, wait, we can get a better guy. You're not going to be the guy. Sit there and have fun. Like, that's not right either, because you don't get to be 18, 19, 20 and do it again in college. You don't get a do-over. You get one time in your life to be that guy. And if you're Nico at Tennessee and you feel like, well, I should get paid more for what I did last year, which is a stretch, and he got called out on it, and now he's going to have to go elsewhere. That's the other side of it. But you can be the guy, and I think this is the opportunity for college sports. It's not, I don't like that Micah Parsons said it that way, because it's an opportunity now for players and more of them to become better. And I think this is where I've had this conversation with college soccer coaches at non-Power Four schools.
Right.
Of you can sell it two different ways now that the landscape is different. You can sell it to that kid who maybe a late bloomer in high school at the club level. They're not getting the offers that they think they should get. Come here, ball out, and then go. In a year or two, go. Go to the bigger school. Go to the next move. You can get that, but come here and play. Don't go somewhere else and sit.
Yeah.
Come here and play. Or the flip side, Nico overplayed his hand at Tennessee. He did really well there, but he overplayed his hand. Yeah. He's got to leave. Now what? He can go somewhere, maybe a step down a little bit, maybe get to somewhere equal. I don't know. But for him, I would go a step, half step down, go ball out, and then look at what Haley Van Lith did. Go somewhere that you can elevate a program, have a great season, take somebody somewhere they've never been, past the Citrus Bowl, and then get a better draft pick. Because for all the talk that we've done about college sports, we never let these athletes be professionals. They have a right to make money too.
True.
If you're a great actor and you're in college and then you get a movie role, you're going to take it. You should. There's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't stay in the drama class at your college because that's what I'm supposed to do. If you're a football player, you have a limited window to make money. If you're a basketball player, you have a limited window to make money. Go make it. Yeah. Do it. And now you can do it in college. Great. But these are the things that come with it. Players are going to move. They shouldn't be locked in. Coaches have done it for their whole lives. How many times have you seen a coach walk out on a program and walk out on a group of kids?
But now we know the backstory. If they're coming from a certain program, that team, that school that brings them compensates that school. That's a buyout.
In coaching.
Right.
Why don't we have that for players?
Hey, that's what we talked about earlier.
That's what should happen. Yeah, you shouldn't just sit there.
Yeah.
If you get screwed over, if you go to a school and you're expected to be the guy and you expect to get that opportunity and they go get somebody, it doesn't happen. You don't get to play. You don't quite fit with the scheme. You don't quite fit with the style of play. They go get somebody else. You should go and you should go play and make the most of your 20-year-old season that you get, because you only get it one time.
Yeah.
You should not be locked in, because those kids – How many jobs have you had where you moved jobs because you were in a situation like, this was really good? Oh, now it's not. I think I might need to go. Why are we treating college athletes any different?
Because that's the way it's always been.
It's not anymore.
Not anymore.
And it shouldn't have been to begin with. And now it definitely shouldn't be. So go get the bank. Make sure you know what kind of bank you're worth, and don't overstate it, and don't hold out of practice on the eve of the spring game and get called out and be forced out. I think he's already submitted his paperwork to join the transfer portal, so that'll be a fun subplot.
April 12th looms as a day we're going to want to remember. This is the day that Tennessee stood their ground and fired back.
Good on them.
You want to remember that happened. Also in Tennessee today, NASCAR is running in Bristol. The Xfinity Series is back at Bristol Motor Speedway. Didn't run there last year. They had run there since 2019. So Bristol is back today. Our friend Adam Alexander is going to be hard at work up there today, and they run the Cup Series race tomorrow. People want to watch that race with a critical eye. Why? Because in August, the Braves are going to play baseball there.
That's so weird.
Braves are going to play baseball at Bristol Motor
Speedway. We saw the football game there, which I get, and it's one of the cool, like, iconic venues for sports in the South. baseball?
They're going to play baseball there in August. Braves and the Cincinnati Reds are going to play.
Good on Major League Baseball for doing some different things. Because I feel like they're losing the next generation in a lot of ways. And it's something that we might not quite see it, but 20, 40 years down the line, baseball's not going to be in the same place that it is today if they don't start thinking outside the box. How good did hockey get with the stadium series?
Absolutely.
And getting attention from people that might not have given it attention before, then they get hooked.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool. They've done it with the Field of Dreams game. This is even more different. I like the attempt. I need to see it because I'm baffled at what it looks like.
I'm sure they'll be talking about it this weekend. So as you watch that race, just try to look at it and think they're going to play baseball in there in August. Braves, meanwhile, are playing down in Tampa in the Yankees Farm Club spring training stadium because they can't play in the other one where the roof got blown off. Hopefully they get a win there. And, of course, the Hawks are here at home tomorrow afternoon. Don't forget, later today, it's pregame at 1:30, kickoff at 2:55. Yes, yes.
Extended pregame with Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz.
That is coming up today. Noel, behind the glass, exemplary work as always. And we try to find Greg out on the highway, out in front of Bucky's. Thank you for spending the morning with us here. John Fricke's up next on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com.